the four symphonies on two CDs. Definitely one for Rozhestvensky fans, but you'll have to decide if you're amongst them. I don't think I need it quite as much as I do his Sibelius cycle, which I found absolutely fascinating.
Well, Sibelius is all but a Russian composer, isn't he?
But it's interesting how unusual the textures and the sounds he gets.
Not the most obvious pairing of composer and conductor.
Well, we've got another interesting pairing, this time composers. We've got Schumann's Second Symphony from Kenneth Woods and the Orchestra of the Swan. A quick illustration just to get a feel for the contrast with Rozhestvensky.
Part of the slow movement of the Second Symphony, this time in the performance by Orchestra of the Swan under Kenneth Woods. Just to give you an instant comparison of how they sound differently to the Estonians. It's a smaller band, it's more chamber-like in feel, it's no less intense, it seems to me, it's very finely played. But you're not going to, with the best will in the world, buy this CD for that recording. What you will be buying it for is the premiere recording of the Symphony No. 4 by Hans Gall, who... Well, I'm sorry to say that I'm probably one of the reasons why you don't know enough about Hans Gall, because when I was a producer here, I had the opportunity of putting much more of him on the map than I eventually succeeded in doing. But they're led by his daughter, Eva Fox Gall, and her son. They have worked very hard at bringing back the music of a man who is basically a contemporary of Richard Strauss and lived even longer.
Well, he knew Strauss, and he was helped by Strauss and Furtwängler, wasn't he?
He was in
his early career.
And by the way, there's a Sell connection because he studied piano with the same teacher as Sell did, and I think they knew each other. Hans Gall was extraordinarily successful in the years just before and after the First World War, until the coming of Hitler. He was chased first of all out of Mainz, where he was director of the conservatory, back to Vienna, where he had more or less grown up and studied, and eventually with the Anschluss, of course, was forced over here, treated abominably by us, as we do all our immigrants, and he was found a post in Edinburgh University by the great Sir Donald Tovey, where of course his immense learning, because he was a PhD and had made studies of the greatest composers, and his qualities as a composer, which had been celebrated hugely between the wars. He was one of the most popular and successful opera composers, but he was prolific in all other forms as well. And it's the operas that really carried his name abroad, and which, had the Second World War not come, we'd no doubt still be singing. If I may, Andrew, I've got a quote here, because let's hear a little bit of this Fourth Symphony. Remember that this was written by a man in his 80s in 1984.
Thank you.
part of Hans Gahl's Fourth Symphony. First recording from Kenneth Woods and the Orchestra of the Swan. And I don't know, Chris, I know the dates, and I'm always slightly surprised to read that he died in Edinburgh in 1987, but you're expecting new Vienna and you get old Vienna. It's Brahmsian.
Well, it is indeed Brahmsian. I think he possibly even knew Brahms, or certainly knew the music brilliantly. It's sort of post-Straussian. It's where Schoenberg might have gone.
Yeah, I suppose, and probably there's even a little bit of Schoenberg.
Yes, but I think it's the textures and the orchestration. I just wonder if Schoenberg could. Did he have that kind of wit and fleetness of foot? Not sure.
You mentioned a quotation you were about to
well,
read, and then
I thought it would be good to hear the music before I read this quotation, which is from a review of his first opera, which is called Der Arzt Zobeide, Zobeide's Physician. And the critic of the newspaper in 1919 said, "Here are all the virtues combined which reveal the master of his craft. A lavish richness of melodic ideas permeates the whole work, naturally underlining and enhancing the lyrical episodes with special emphasis, carried along by a harmonic freedom which, in spite of all its boldness, appears completely unforced. The sense of a vitalising rhythm, preventing the occurrence of any dead moments, is particularly successfully developed. Behind the natural flow of the parts, especially be the single vocal lines, not in this case, is, although we've got solo instruments which are very vocal, is concealed a deceptively easy, mature, technical artistry." He never lost it. He had it right from the start. So easy.
Mm. It's been really enjoyable hearing this symphony. And the work I heard first from this V-series of Gahl recordings was the Violin Concerto, which is a lovely place to start if you haven't come across Gahl's music before. But as a symphonist, what strikes you about the way he writes?
Well, I think Brahmsian, again, is this process of continuous variation, of taking an idea and letting it, as it were, organise itself, but being very controlled about where it goes. What you heard in that opening of that symphony is a few ideas, soloists entering, because he calls it Sinfonia Concertante, and then gradually the orchestra taking over. But it's always more of a concerto than a symphony, but the organisation of the ideas is very, very symphonic. And again, there's a dichotomy. You think, well, is this really symphonic music? But actually, no, but it's being treated symphonically, and why not? So original. The composer that it brings to mind, funnily enough, more than any other, the more I think about it, is Bohuslav Martinů. It's got that kind of sunny, radiant fullness of harmony and lyricism. By the way, did you think it was very well played? Because I don't think anybody could do better than that.
I didn't even notice, which means that it must have been
good enough. You were listening to the music.
I was listening to the music.
Which begs the question, and I think was implied in your question, relevant. What on earth does that mean nowadays? You know, we used to expect music of a certain period to sound a certain way. But now it seems to me all styles are relevant and all techniques are perfectly, you know, justifiable.
And we're not getting nearly as hung up on dates as we used to be.
We don't silo
music. Except for anniversaries.
Well, yeah. Well, he'll have several of these very soon, won't he? But I mean, you'd have to remember that Tippett was alive and catching the headlines in 1984 when that music was being first premiered. So it's desperately unfair. I've got a little joke written down here, which, of course, is going to spoil it. It doesn't suit the Glockenspiel, you know. So William Glock's sound world was Tippett and not that. Actually, by then, of course, I think Sir William Glock was out of it. But Radio 3, the BBC, in its serious music output, had kind of sideline composers like that. George Lloyd's another. Bertolt Goldschmidt, who was another of the Entartete composers who had come over here as a refugee and whose success between the wars was totally forgotten, is another example of how these people had to wait for a time when we were not so hung up on styles, divisions of style, and a sort of one-line development of music. I've said all I can about it, so I'm going to say one more thing, which is a quotation of somebody else. It's Ava Fox Gahl, his daughter. She writes about his music. "It combines polyphonic structure with flowing melody, free, expressive lyricism with emotional restraint, often complex, never obscure, frequently witty, never trivial, consistently optimistic, never superficial."
Thank you.
the end of Hans Gall's Symphony No. 4 from the Orchestra of the Swan, conducted by Kenneth Woods. And if it makes you want to explore further, you can. They've already recorded the Third Symphony alongside Schumann 3 and Hans Gall's Violin Concerto and Triptych for Orchestra. Like this new one, they're all available on Avvi. Thanks to Chris D'Souza for stopping by and introducing us to Hans Gall and for all his comments on the other things we heard this morning. You'll find details of all of them on the Radio 3 website. Well, here on Radio 3 in just under 25 minutes, percussionist Evelyn Glennie investigates one of the most unusual musical instruments with that strange otherworldly purity of sound, the glass harmonica. If chimes could whisper...